guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, we're going to talk about the history of sewing.
We are.
And how much it's going to change. It has changed over the years. And things that are impacting the sewing community as it continues to evolve moving forward, and what the future kind of looks like for sewing. Mm-hmm, so we have a lot to talk about, but I wanted us to kind of take a minute. And I don't think a lot of people know the history of sewing and how far back it goes, even before the sewing machine. Mm-hmm. So we have done some research and we have some of that information. So we're going to kind of start all the way back, and we're going to take turns reading some information that we had gathered leading up to today and how sewing has impacted those different eras in history. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. It's a quick history lesson. Yes. Because I think it's, we've been spending the last year talking to people about their personal history with how they got started sewing, whether it's been a few years or since they were 7 years old, like me. So we all have a history and experience with sewing, but let's find out how we got here. Let's talk about the evolution of sewing. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to know where we've been, where we're at, and where we're going, because then it helps us just to continue to grow and appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
So let's start with prehistoric era. We're taking it back to the Stone Age.
I love it. I love it.
I know. So I'm going to read this out, and then I'll let Ashley, you can read the next one. So the prehistoric era, sewing is one of the oldest textile arts known to humanity. Archaeological evidence, such as bone needles and threads made from plant fibers, suggest that humans began sewing as far back as the Paleolithic era. Sorry.
You got it. Yeah.
Big words are hard. Around 25,000 years ago, early sewing was primarily used for clothing and shelter, such as sewing animal hides together for clothing and tents. There you go. I mean, it started from day one.
Well, I mean, they ate the apple, and then shame came upon us, and we had to clothe ourselves. Yes. Right?
And we've advanced from leaves. So, so I'll let you read the next one.
All right, we're going to talk about ancient civilization. Sewing continued to evolve in ancient civilization. In Egypt around 3500 BC, sophisticated sewing techniques were used to create finely tailored clothing. In China, by the 3rd century BC, the use of silk threads and fabrics became prevalent.
Yeah.
Oh, just that would have been cool. So nice. Mm-hmm.
I know. So, I mean, it's cool to see how even just the materials started to evolve. Mm-hmm. So long ago, materials that we recognize today, like silk threads and silk fabrics. So cool. All right. Mm-hmm. So then we get to the Middle Ages. During the Middle Ages, sewing techniques and tools advanced significantly in Europe. The development of the eye of the needle and the use of scissors improved precision in sewing. Monasteries played a crucial role in preserving and advancing sewing techniques. Fun facts. Mm. This is all stuff that you can use in trivia one day when you have a sewing trivia night.
Ooh, the Renaissance era. The Renaissance period saw the emergence of more elaborate and decorative clothing. Now, that's one era that I would like to be a fly on a wall.
Yeah.
Because their clothing, I mean, it was a lot.
It was a lot.
Sewing along with embroidery and lace making became highly skilled and artistic endeavor. The first practical sewing machine invented by Charles Wiesenthal in 1755 marked an early step towards automation.
Think about that. Everything up until this point had all been hand sewn, and and even still at the Renaissance era when they're doing the hand embroidery, the hand lace making.
Have you seen these people are still doing that on TikTok?
Oh my gosh. It's an art that's little like
the metal thing or the wood things are like oh my goodness, it's so cool. If you've never seen handmade lace videos, you got to check it out on TikTok.
Or hand embroidery, or hand beading. Mm-hmm, all of that is just fascinating.
Yeah.
So that's really cool. And then we get into the Industrial Revolution, which began in the late 18th century, brought significant changes to the world of sewing. In 1790, Thomas Saint patented the first sewing machine capable of stitching leather and canvas. However, it was not widely adopted at the time. So
I'm pretty sure that's the time where they had their factory plundered. And okay. The tailor.
Tell this story, because you told this to me when we were talking about this podcast, and I was like, what? I did not know this.
I'm pretty sure Thomas Saint was the one who had a factory of men using the very first, it was like a wooden sewing machine that kind of just punched the fabric, and it had an embroidery type hook. It wasn't an eye of a needle. So either it's this guy or the guy that we mentioned before. But the tailors were so worried that their craft would be taken away from them. They didn't see the value.
This new machine.
Yes, that they got together and they went into this factory and destroyed all of the machines. Because they're like, no, it's not going to happen.
It's a shame.
We're not changing.
It's a shame because someone still has to run the machines, right? And we still need tailors, but he was trying to help build some automation so that they could create whatever they were trying to sew.
It was the military clothing.
So, you know, he was trying to help in a tough situation with his new invention, and people were scared of new technology. I feel like that's one lesson, like, We've never really adapted to, like, new is scary. Change is scary. I think the human race overall is always going to be intimidated by that. So it's interesting to see and hear where that's happened so long ago, with the sewing machine starting out.
They're afraid they were going to lose their livelihoods probably, but
yeah.
Turned out that if anything, it probably made them make more money, right? Like, now they can make things faster.
So the 19th century, the mid-19th century saw the invention of several sewing machines that were more practical for mass production. In 1846, Elias Howe, patented the first modern sewing machine, which utilized a lock stitch design. Isaac Singer improved upon Howe's design and developed the Singer sewing machine, which became immensely popular even to this day. I have one behind me.
Apparently it only took Singer 11 days to invent the new machine.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of history there. So 1846. Yeah. I love the rich history of Singer and the brand. So it's part of the reason why I love that I get to work for them. Because I feel like everyone has some sort of connection to Singer, whether they've owned one, it was one of their first machines. Maybe they were gifted one. Maybe that's what their grandmother sewed on. Maybe they were handed down their grandmother's, you know, featherweight that they, you know, have in their home just to look at because they're so pretty. So yeah, there's a huge history there, which is really cool. So
fun fact, Isaac Singer had 24 children.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah. And multiple wives. But he was a polygamist.
Oh, no, he...
Unless his wives didn't know.
That's it. I don't know much about the history of the 1800s.
I think
when it comes to stuff like that.
Like, common, probably, right?
Really?
Just like, yeah, got a bunch. But yeah, 24 kids. That's a lot.
That's crazy. Well, do you want to talk about the 20th century?
The 20th century. Is that where we are right now?
Yeah.
Sewing machines.
No, that was the 1900s. So
okay,
no.
Right.
We're in the 21st century.
It's like behind, right? 19th is 1800s. 20th is 1900s.
It's so confusing. Now,
we're not in the 19th or in the 19s anymore. Oh my goodness. words are hard. Sewing machines continue to evolve throughout the 20th century with innovations such as electric and computerized machines. Home sewing became increasingly common, allowing individuals to create their own clothing and accessories.
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So it went from being a resource to do mass production of clothing to sell or materials to sell to being able to do it yourself in your home, which is really cool. And then we get into contemporary sewing. Today, sewing remains a popular hobby. That's why we're here. And a vital skill, which I don't think will ever go anywhere. While advanced sewing machines can automate many processes, there is a resurgence of interest in hand sewing, quilting, and other traditional sewing techniques. Sewing is not only a practical skill, but also an artistic and creative outlet for many people. So I feel like, and you know, throughout history, sewing has played obviously a very critical role in clothing people, creating textiles, and shaping the fashion industry as we know it. But it's also been essential for survival and allowing humans to adapt over the years, over centuries, over changes. So I don't know. I just, it's cool to take a moment and think back on the history of how this all started and why it started and how it's changed so much.
Mm-hmm. And there's so much. I mean, we just scratched the surface
Like,
the actual history of it.
Yeah. But I feel like it just gives you a greater, at least for me, it gives me a greater appreciation for the tools and resources that we get to use today. Like this new machine behind me, or my industrial machine sitting over here in the room, or the other 12 machines I have sitting on the wall right now that are all Singers. It's just, they all have a purpose. And I think we all, no matter what brand of sewing machine you have, the end result is sewing.
Yeah.
It's an experience that we can all relate to. And knowing the history of how it got to where we are today, I think is important for us to know. So we wanted to take a minute to think about that. I think one of the other things we wanted to talk about today was also the impact of technology on sewing. Because I feel like that's something that you kind of hit on, right? When sewing machines first came out, it was scary, like that new technology. And now we have computerized sewing machines. I have a sewing machine behind me that has a screen on it bigger than my phone. I have a sewing machine in my sewing room right now that has a screen on it bigger than my iPad. Like it's got artificial intelligence. It works with my Alexa device. I hate hearing that noise because then, you know, someone's Alexa is going to go off.
Yeah.
Alexa, look up sewing machines. No, just kidding.
Sorry.
Had to. So, you know, it's got a camera on it. It's got a projector to display my stitches on my fabric, or a grid or a line to follow. Like they've come so far. And, you know, I think some people are intimidated by those new technologies on sewing machines. I think some people embrace it, and some people say, well, if it ain't broke, you know, I'm going to stick to my mechanical. I don't think there's a wrong answer.
Well, the personally. Thing is that all the machines really, if you go back to the early machines, like they really haven't changed.
No.
Except for the technology around it, but the mechanism.
Yeah.
Which is pretty amazing that we're still using that same bobbin and needle. Like the same thing.
The same action to create the stitch hasn't really changed.
No, it's just everything
added
around it.
Stitches. We've added the options for stitches. We've added zigzags, and we've added stretch stitches, and we've added overlocking stitches and buttonholes, you know, and those kind of things.
Decorative stitches. They all work off of the same premise,
but
though,
it's still the same concept. It's still a motor. It's still an arm that comes over. It's still the same plate and foot action. So the fact that the foundation of the sewing process hasn't changed is really cool. I think some people are intimidated by like a computerized sewing machine. And I did a whole class on this recently for Michael's Zoom. Like I did a Michael's Zoom class for their craft stores in September this month, a few weeks ago. Maybe it was in August, actually.
No concept of time.
None. It's all a blur. But I do them so often. We did a whole class about computerized machines because so many people are comfortable with mechanical machines. They're intimidated by the computerized. They feel like there's too many options, too many things to like mess up or whatever, or break. And I actually have the opposite response to that. Like, I feel like the point of a computerized machine is to take out some of the guesswork of the settings. So like if I hit a straight stitch on my computerized machine, it puts it center needle. It sets it to 2.5 millimeter stitch length. You know, it does it for me. With a mechanical, I have to select the stitch, Mm-hmm. Then I have to select the width because I want it to go back to center needle, and then I can change it to center needle. I also have to change my length. So you have to consciously remember to do all these steps. And if you do one wrong or you forget to do one, you can go, why is this not going back to center needle? Or why is this not the stitch length that I want? Where, what is happening? And so for me, it's all about making the sewing experience more efficient, more easy, more user-friendly, great for beginners because you're not having to think about all of those things. It's just a different experience. I personally, I love mechanicals. I sew on them all the time for work. But if I can sit down in front of a computerized machine and hit a scissor snip button all day, that's like one of my favorite features on a computerized machine is a scissor snip button and a needle up down.
Yeah.
Those two right there are deal breakers for me because not all computerized machines come with those buttons. There's different tiers to computerized machines. So they don't all have all the features, but those are two that if I was to purchase a computerized machine, it would have to have scissor snips, needle up down.
Yeah, for sure.
The other thing is speed control. You don't get that feature on a mechanical machine very often.
Not even on
computerized machines have speed control.
Not all, but one that my beginner brother does, which was super awesome for like when Bianca wants to sew, and I'm just like,
turn it down.
Turn it right now.
Yeah. And then
is this how fast you sew? And I'm like, yes, it is.
Yes, for safety. Yeah. But if you're a beginner or you're sewing something really delicate or you're going over like a thicker material and you need to go a little slower and you don't want that foot to get away from you because it takes every machine, I feel like just like every car, like the gas, some you have to hit the pedal pretty hard to get it going and some you barely tap and it's like, zoom, you know, same as a car. Like you just have to get to know that machine. And so the speed control really helps prevent it from getting away from you, having a little more control over that. And it's great for all skill levels, but I really think it's great for beginners. So it's just features like that, that you may not think about when you're going, do I want a computerized or mechanical? It's not just about all the decorative stitches. Nobody's going to use all the decorative stitches on a computerized machine.
No,
but it's about the experience and taking out some of the guesswork and, I don't know. I personally am a big fan. If you disagree, that's fine. That's totally fine.
But then some people just like to experience like how their mother sewed, you know? Yeah. So they will seek out like those older machines so that they can have the feel of the dial and all that stuff. Yep.
You know, I have my local sewing club that I started and we just had our second meetup and my friend Jen drove up from Alabama and she brought her Singer Featherweight. It's like a fold up one. And so because she was just doing piecing for quilting. So it was like a perfect little travel machine.
Yeah.
And it's electric, but it's got like, it's just the cutest thing. And it's the sound.
Like the box that
it does. It wasn't in a box, but like the arm, the space, the sewing space to the left of the needle actually folded down and opened up. And it would just fold up next to the machine. So it'd stay more compact. I'll have to share a video of it. The sound of it was fascinating. It's so satisfying to hear. It's the, you know, like that. You can literally hear every mechanism in the machine working. And it was just really cool. And then next to it is my giant, I took my big FOF because I was doing some quilting. And so I wanted to take my big FOF. So I've got this giant heavy machine that's got a screen on it this big.
Next to this,
and she's just cranking away, and I'm just cranking away. But mine was so loud compared to hers.
Oh, really?
Because I was doing straight line quilting, so I was going pretty fast. But it was just funny to see them side by side. I was like, "This is kind
of
the irony,
come, right?"
It was totally that. Mm-hmm. It was really funny and kind of what sparked my thought of us talking about this topic of just how much the sewing industry has changed. It's just fun, but I do appreciate the originals. I do love a featherweight.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just goes to show you that you really don't need to go out and get the bells and whistles and you still can do.
No.
You can still do it with an older vintage. Like if, you know, it got grandma's handed down to you, you know, like oil her up and give it a test ride.
My only same thing with that is if it's a sentimental piece and you don't want it to get damaged.
Yeah.
The reality is that machine probably you can't get parts for anymore, or it'd be really hard to find someone who could repair it or has the skill set or knowledge to repair older machines. So sometimes when I have friends who say, hey, I was gifted this, it was from my mom, she's gone, you know, it means a lot to me, I would like to learn to sew. It's like, okay, well, you don't even have all the cams for it, you know, those kind of things. We can't get bobbins for it anymore. It's kind of tricky. When was it last cleaned? It probably needs a good service. Who would you go to do that really old machine? So sometimes it's like, let's preserve this memory. It's a beautiful machine. Let's get it cleaned up and display it in honor of her. And then let's get you a mechanical machine to get started, to start learning. And then you can remember her through, you know, those memories of her sewing through your sewing journey. But you don't have to sew on that if you want to preserve it, you know. Yeah,
if you want to keep it forever, but if you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have some that I will never sew on because they mean something to me and they're in good condition. I just don't want anything to happen to them. And then what I was going to also say is, you know, we're talking about all the changes to like the domestic side of sewing, but we've seen changes even on the industrial side of sewing.
Mm-hmm.
The industrial machine that you have is what, 50 years old?
I'm going to say that. Yeah.
Yep. And then 20. The one that I have is 8 or 9 years old, but mine's got like computerized features on it.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of like something that you're seeing more of in the industrial machines these days is like the stitch regulators and all of that. So,
well, I did computerize mine.
Yes. Right?
So that's another, you can take a machine and computerize it if you want to as well.
Yeah.
Which is another topic for another day, but,
that's beyond my skill set.
Yeah, I know. But that's what they do. Like, you know, the old like treadle. Is it treadle? I think my grandmother had one of those.
Yeah.
And you could just go buy a motor and stick it on the back. And so a lot of them were like converted.
Yes.
Because they're like, wait a minute, you put a motor on this thing? Why am I using my feet like a sucker, you know?
I have a featherweight that's a hand wheel. So you turn it with your right hand, but it's like, but I usually use two hands to kind of guide my, so I'm like, how, I would never sew with it. It was more of a memorabilia kind of piece, but it would sew. It's a straight stitch. It would sew. But it's all hand crank. And I'm like, I don't know if I would trust myself with that. I would, to be able to hand crank and use my other hand and watch where I feel like that's, it's like tapping your head and rubbing your stomach at the same time. And chewing gum at the same, like I couldn't do all three. I could barely do two.
I watched some different YouTubers who that's what they like to do is they wear the period clothing and they sew it in like the exact same way. Like they do everything to a T, which is like, if they made this, you know, if this, I don't know what they call the clothing, a petticoat, let's say.
Yeah.
In that era, this is how they would have made it, was they would make it by hand. They would use like baleen, which is like from a whale. They literally like, what? They do it. Yeah. Have you heard of like, you know, boning and stuff?
Yes.
That was in your courses and stuff. That was from baleen, which is like from the whales, the teeth. I think it's
that's wild.
The sperm whale or the blue whale, I think it was. Or the gray whale.
Wow.
Anyways, yeah, it's from the whale. So if you get something like really, really old with like real baleen.
That's kind of gross.
I know. And then they're like, we should stop killing whales for baleen. Like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, is a whale on my TV right now. That's weird.
Squirrel. Usually I'm the one with the squirrel moments, Ashley. My goodness. So, yeah. So, anyways, sewing has changed a lot.
Sure has.
Technology has also impacted the industry. I will say,
What can you tell us? Do we have any secrets?
I'll tell you some things. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. So we have the new machine right behind me at Singer called the SE9180. It's a sewing and embroidery machine. And it's the first time Singer has had a Wi-Fi enabled sewing machine that will connect with our MySewNet software, which is embroidery software, which we already have machines with our Viking and Pfaff lines of machines. Our Husqvarna Viking and Pfaff are our sister brands. We already have machines, high-end machines that work with our MySewNet software. So to have one in the Singer brand is a dream for me, because now I get to teach everybody about this really cool software, and I kind of geek out over software. But think of it as like a software you would use for like a cutting machine.
Right. I was going to say that. Is that what it's like? It's like you can now like beam your embroidery designs to...
Beam it up, Scotty. No, yeah, exactly. You can actually log in. Yeah, you actually log in. So you connect your machine to the Wi-Fi in your home. It's not Bluetooth. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's Wi-Fi. So you can log into the MySewNet software right here on the screen and access the full library and the cloud. Computer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'll turn it on.
Connected to the internet. Computer connected. So new designs get uploaded,
then where's my power button?
It automatically uploads onto your machine.
Yeah, so it's turning on right now, and it's going
to
load.
Come over to YouTube if you want to check this out, because it's pretty neat.
It's super cool. Mm-hmm. And I'll scoot this closer.
We weren't actually expecting to do this, so this is just...
this is on a whim.
Yeah.
I just get really excited about it. So this machine is out, and you'll hear it make some noises.
It's like a tablet in the sewing machine. It's so big.
Here it says it needs to calibrate, and I need to remove the hoop.
Ah, yes.
So there's the hoop.
So cool.
Now, this is a smaller embroidery machine.
It's nice size.
Which is actually a great size for beginners. It's a great size for anyone. I feel like people who have really big machines, if they want to travel with an embroidery machine on like retreats and stuff, this is a perfect travel size embroidery machine. You still can do a lot. So I have the embroidery arm connected, so it goes into embroidery mode. If I disconnect the embroidery arm and put on the regular arm for regular sewing, it would go into sewing mode. So all of your stitches are selected on here too. The only buttons on this machine are across the front right here where our speed control is, scissor snips and needle up, down.
Of course.
our back stitch and our start stop. So everything is here. But if I click on this little cloud right here, I'm logged into my MySewNet library or my MySewNet account. And I have a library and I have a cloud. So my library let me go see all of the existing designs in the MySewNet software library. So I can search. There's over 1,500 right here.
Wow.
So I can search these designs and just pick one and load it to start stitching out. The cloud means I can save designs to my cloud. So there's two kind of aspects to the MySewNet software, as I like to explain it. There's the existing designs that you can use right away. There's also the ability to create or edit designs. So, and there's like super designs, and you can import designs. You can purchase designs and import it into the software, from other places to be able to make your own designs. And then those would get saved to your cloud, and you could access those right here as well. So you don't have to use a flash drive from your computer to your machine. You can, if you have someone on a flash drive, they can go in right here. You still have that capability. Maybe you're traveling somewhere and you may not have Wi-Fi, but you've loaded your designs on a stick, right? You can still use them, but you have access to be able to design, create, edit, save to the cloud, or use existing, and they are always adding new ones. And so there's a lot that you can do. We'll do some special things with like other brands. So like right now we have a whole lab with like Sesame Street. So there's a little Cookie Monster I stitched out.
That looks really good.
Doesn't it?
Here, I'll hold it up. That's amazing.
And this is a pre-made pouch that I lined with Cookie Monster.
That's so cute.
Just a little test sew that I did. And then we've got some, like, we did a whole thing with, like, when Cruella, the movie, came out.
Oh.
We got a whole, we have a whole bunch of designs that are, like, Cruella mm-hmm. and fashion themed, and they're really fun. So, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff in there. And yeah. I love going through and playing with stuff and even making my own designs. You can even take a picture and digitize it into,
like, a photograph of a person. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And stitch it out. Or
see, if you're really landscape. Like, techie. Oh,
it's so easy to do. And you can also create QR codes that are stitched out with embroidery.
Ah.
And nice. There's an app, the MySewNet app. So every time, like, if I need to start, you know, it starts in doing the embroidery and I walk away for a minute to go do something, it'll notify me on my app when it's done and I need to change the thread color. So every time I need to go back to the machine to change the thread color or when it's completed, it notifies my phone.
That's amazing. So you can just like, oh, I got to go do my laundry or, and then you just forget because you're like, oh yeah, I was doing the thing.
So again, this is just another way that, like, and you don't have to have a Singer machine, a Viking machine, or a Pfaff machine to use the MySewNet software. They do sync with these machines because they're embedded, the software's embedded in there. But if you have another embroidery machine and you want to have access to this caliber of a software and library, you can use a flash drive still to take it from the software to your machine. So the MySewNet software stands alone as its own brand separate from our machines, but all of our machines are compatible with that software.
Oh, okay.
So yeah. So fun fact, this is why I get a little nerdy about this stuff because the software is a design software. So I can go in and pick my hoop size and the designs and create, and there's so many fonts and monogramming, and you can actually search by rayon thread by the color number that's on the bottom. So you can actually see, like, I want to make this design out of these three colors, and you can tell it which colors by the number code that's on the bottom of them. And it'll put that in. So you can actually see what those colors would look like before you stitch it out to make sure you like them. Yeah. So you can do a lot of stuff.
That's crazy.
It's really fun.
This is the news that I don't want to hear because I don't have room for an embroidery machine.
Ashley needs a new toy. Well, this is a great one because this one is not.
I know. I would love that one.
It's coming. It's coming to Canada too. Just saying.
Yeah. See, that's the thing is that Canada doesn't always get things right off the hop.
Nope. But you got it. You're getting it.
Oh, one day.
No, like I think now.
Oh, okay. Don't tell me then.
So you'll be seeing me do a lot more content with this machine. It also has extension table you can get with it. It's got other hoops you can get with it. It's really cool.
Does Bethany come with it?
I mean, I'm teaching tutorials on it. My job. It's fun.
Well, I hope that you guys, I hope you guys enjoyed our little look down memory lane.
I know. And now we're looking at the future, right? So it's exciting. I'm very grateful that I get to be a part of this process of the evolution of the sewing machine changing and what's to come. Like, so one other thing I wanted to mention. So in October, we have our convention for our new top of the line Husqvarna Viking Epic 3 sewing machine. This is the top dog of that brand. And, you know, as mentioned earlier, I have the Pfaff Creative Icon 2, which is the top dog of the Pfaff brand that we did a launch for last year at convention. So this year we're doing a Viking convention for this one. And I've gotten some sneak peeks of it. I've gotten to see it in person this week at the office for the first time. And they've started sharing videos on YouTube. If you want to go over to Husqvarna Viking's YouTube channel, you can look at, they've given some insights. There's a video with the chief engineer of this new machine in our Sweden office sharing more information on how the embroidery unit for this machine works. It's completely re-engineered and changing how embroidery units connect to sewing machines moving forward. It's phenomenal.
The
fact that we're going to have, oh my gosh, we're going to have free arm embroidery on a domestic machine. Phenomenal. We're going to have a turnable hoop so you don't have to re-hoop your material. You can do felting. Like, just I'm so freaking excited. I want one already. I haven't even gotten to sit in front of and sell with it. So I will get to get a full deep dive on it when I go to convention, and then we'll be teaching classes on it. And I'll be teaching classes on this Singer SE9180 as well. So, you know, I don't know. I get really geeky about this stuff, y'all. I get so excited because, yeah, it's just fun. It's just fun to see how things are changing and evolving.
Mm-hmm. So. And all in good ways, I believe. I don't think it's like, you know, I think if anything, it just helps productivity.
Yeah.
And it helps with just creativity, because sometimes mm-hmm. you just get stuck and you'll just like kind of sit there and sift through applique options.
Yeah.
You know, just all these different, you know, learning tools that are being offered to us is just going to help make us make more things.
Yeah. Well, and I love that you mentioned applique, because you can actually applique with an embroidery machine. And there's applique designs in that MySonet software that you can use with an embroidery. So you could do so much. It's so fun. I know, like I mentioned, like these Icon 2s, these Epic 3s, these big top of the line Pfaff and Viking machines. And they're beautiful machines. They're huge. They're expensive. But we're seeing new things coming into those machines now. But mm-hmm. I see what that says to me is, in the future, those features are going to trickle down to machines that are more at an entry level price point.
Exactly.
Those features have to start here.
Right.
And they will. So like having this Singer be Wi-Fi enabled with our software is just proof of that happening, that evolution of it happening. So
it's like when the freaking VCR came out, right? And it was like so expensive. So we just have to wait a few years and then we'll be able to have those options.
And it just gets better and better. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyways, that's kind of it for us today. However, I shipped Ashley a little present and she hasn't opened it yet. This is a little anniversary gift I meant to send weeks ago. So it's the thought that counts. First of all, sending stuff to Canada is not easy.
UPS sucks, just so we know.
Yeah, we're just going to put that out there. I'm not going to ever ship anything to Ashley via UPS again.
Nope.
But lesson learned.
Really cute things inside.
Really cute things inside. She's opening it live right now.
I hope
she likes it.
Me too. Oh, there's a card. That's cute. Bestie.
I'm already crying. I just had to send
my birthday.
I just had to send you a little something. It's nothing fancy. The stuff in the package I got from the So Magical Expo back in June. So I've had it for a while.
Do I read this?
You can if you want.
I don't know if I can.
Why? My handwriting that bad?
No, because I'll cry.
Read it out loud. I want you to cry a little. No, I'm just kidding.
Ashley, happy 1 year anniversary of our amazingly awesome podcast. None of this would be possible if it weren't for your talents and willingness to go above and beyond. I'm so very grateful for you, for your friendship.
Keep going.
More than anything, no matter what we do, I know that I can always rely on you to be there for me as my dearest friend. I'm so proud of you, your growth, and all you've accomplished this past year. I can't wait to see what this new season brings your way. Love you, Bethany. All right.
Mission accomplished.
And I can't even be like, I'm not going to cry.
And she wiped the tears.
Yeah. I can't see. Oh my God. I see flamingos. What is that? Flamingo poles?
They're rose gold flamingo poles. Zipper poles.
My God. I've never even seen this before.
I saw them and I was like, well, she has to have those to go with everything else I picked out. So it's the whole theme.
Glitter clips. Finally, I got some. These are going to be like the do not drop them on the ground clips.
Those are the Lauren Mormono glitter clip, infamous glitter clips.
Change your needle, check the bobbin, make cool S.
That sticker is from Jolili Creations with Leslie. I ordered something from her and she put two of those in my order. So I had to send you one of the stickers.
What is this?
It's a whole bag kit with flamingo vinyl.
That's
it
so
makes
cool.
like the cutest. You just have to go to their website and get the pattern, but it makes like the cutest little mini bag that I thought would be so fun for you to sew up, because I know you like to make bags. And isn't it cute?
That's so cute. Aww,
now that
you.
Stick, that other sticker pack that I threw in there, I put that in there for Bianca, unless you want to keep it. Yeah, I was, I went through and like cleaned out all my sewing stuff for my whole sewing room, but I had all these stickers and I was like, I feel like you and Bianca would have a heyday with those stickers. It's a whole sticker pack and I have no idea how long I've had them, but I was like, they're really cool. And so I thought she might enjoy those if you don't mind. Like, y'all can share them, but I couldn't just throw them away. I was like, they're so cute. But all this the flamingo is stuff cool. is all you, girl.
Yes.
So that kit comes with everything that you would need, you know, to be able to make the bag. So, and then I had to get those zipper pulls to be able to add some flamingo flair.
Yeah, and these are just like a size 5, which I have tons of zipper tape for that.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I sent you a project.
Yeah, you sent me work. Okay.
But I thought it would be something fun for you to sew, because you've been working so hard on your backpack pattern and so hard on your pattern drafting and everything. And I'm like, she needs something that she can do for herself for fun, as a fun little palette cleanser. You haven't made a bag like that in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope you take some time here in the very near future to make it.
Yeah. Well, I've had like a lot of stresses. I've had a lot of stresses these days, you know, I went and started doing a health journey and stuff. So, but we're all good right now, according to the doctor. So we're just going to, you know, eat better and exercise and do all those things.
Yeah. And sew more for fun. So this is something you can, like, if you're like, I don't know what I want to work on. I don't really have the energy to like work on this or do that. You've got something right there ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
So. I hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Oh my
God, I love it. You have to do it soon so we can post pictures of it.
Yes.
I'm excited
for
sure. to see it. I almost got myself one and then I was like, no, I didn't. At the time I didn't have an industrial machine yet. And I wasn't really like sure if I was going to dive into bag making yet. So if you really like it, I'll have to get a kit or get the pattern myself. But
Who's it from?
I can't remember. There were so many vendors there, but they had flamingo everything. And I was like, well, I got it.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
All right.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't mean to make you cry, but every episode, that's my goal. I'm just kidding.
Just keep sending me stuff. Just keep sending me letters. If you send me like a note like that every friggin' day, you're gonna kill me.
You know, it's been a while since I've written a handwritten note, but that one was an easy one to write. So,
I'm so bad at writing that stuff. So,
I'm sorry for the paw print packaging. That's all that I had.
That's probably why, like, UPS was like, this looks suspicious. There must be drugs in this package.
No, it literally was labeled a gift, and I put crap supplies. I don't know. It's not dog bones or, you know, treats or food or anything like that. I just own a dog bandana business, and I'm on theme. So... all my shipping, if I ever ship you anything, it's going to come with something with paw prints on it. It's just, I got plenty of poly mailers. So anyways, that's all that they are. But anyways, I just wanted to say thank you for all that you do.
Mm-hmm.
You're very much appreciated. And
are too. All the things. And I love
you. All right, guys. I love you too. I hope you guys are enjoying our podcast and our new change of pace. What fun little fact did you tell me about right before we hit record today? Our last episode that we did, we had the most views of that episode in our first day of it airing than we've ever had of a first day airing. right?
Yeah. Tell so me that doesn't mean that you love us.
Well, or that we're heading in the right direction with what we're doing, right? So, you know, it's, again, we will continue to talk to people and have input, but we want to get back to the roots of sewing. And I'm glad we started with the history of sewing today. So yeah. Now we can.
That's funny because we had a list of topics and we both picked this one.
Yeah. Without even like saying like, hey, what do you think? Or we both were like, I think we should do this one. So
it was just
okay,
like,
done.
I'm not surprised.
No.
We're usually on the
same wavelength.
Yeah. Just gonna say that. Jeez. Anyways.
Can we finish each other's
sentences?
Or sandwiches. All right, we need to sign off. We're getting delusional. By the way, if you haven't picked up the body measurements guide that Ashley so carefully curated that we talked about last week's episode, be sure you go get it. It's on sale until the very end of September.
Lots of people are buying it for us, which is amazing because it helps to pay these bills, really.
It does. But let me tell you, we've gotten some amazing feedback on it. Some of the feedback that I sent you, someone said how beautiful it was. The illustrations were fantastic. It was very easy to follow and understand, and it was very thorough. So they felt like it was like money well spent, and it's on sale right now. So you should hop on over to our website. We'll put a link in the description, but hop on over to thesocialhourpodcast.com to click on shop, the social shop. We have a new little shop area on our website, and you can go see it there and get it on sale till the end of September. After October 1st, it'll go back to regular price, but we want you all to have that resource for your sewing, garment sewing. There was a few people that asked specific garment sewing and measuring questions. I want us to gather those and maybe come back with a subject matter expert on those that we could talk through those. So if I haven't answered your specific question of like full bust adjustments or hip adjustments and things like that, don't think that we're not going to. We are curious. You weren't the only one to ask those questions. So we want to get those together to create a future podcast and have maybe someone else join us that can speak more on that those specific topics. So we will be covering those. So when you ask those questions, we see them and we will follow up on those for sure. Awesome. Well, thank you for joining us this week. We'll see you next week. Happy sewing.
Bye.
Bye.